Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is about the written Word of God and how it is sufficient unto salvation to warn us of what is to come for those who neglect the poor and in so doing manifest their unrepentant hearts, and also the eternal bliss in store for those who hear of Christ, receive His word with joy. They have an eternal security prepared for them. Now, there are so many doctrines that the Holy Spirit establishes through the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ in this powerful story of Lazarus and the rich man that we could never plumb the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God given to us here. Universalism is condemned with Jesus' words here. Not everyone, in the end, will be saved. One's eternal destiny is sealed at death. And there is a chasm between the saved and the damned that can never be breached, so that neither can cross to the other place. The departed souls carried to Abraham's side are forever quarantined from those unclean souls sent to Hades. This is descriptive of Jesus' teaching here. You can't miss it unless you decide to ignore the Word of God. The other thing very clear here is that the justice of God is vindicated. Everyone gets what they deserve in the end. Everyone. Those who unjustly received good in this life at the expense of others and by exploiting the good gifts of God will receive bad in the next. Those who unjustly received bad in this life, suffering at the hands of those who abused what God gave them, they will receive good in the next. It's as clear as sunshine. Justice is about setting things right. And no one will, quote, get away with anything in the end. God loves justice. He will set all things right. Now, these teachings bring a sobering call to all who hear them to use their life, their time in this life, wisely. Because happiness and suffering in this life is only temporary. Happiness and suffering after death is eternal. And yet, and still, people don't believe these words. They don't believe the Word of God. And so, it's important to recognize what the central teaching of this story of Lazarus and the rich man is. The central teaching are not these things: hell and judgment and justice. These are simply a given in what Jesus has to say. What Abraham teaches the rich man and what Jesus teaches us is that if people won't believe the Bible, the written Word of God, then they won't believe anything about God that is true. They will never have salvation. They will not be convinced. As I said, this story gives a very vivid and poignant portrayal of heaven and hell, and especially hell, that ought to cause any sensible soul to amend his life. But after all, we hear lots of children's stories, lots of fairy tales about how the good guys win and the bad guys end up getting what's coming to them. And they're not true. And many today believe that the Bible is a book of fairy tales. Some are even so bold to say that Jesus himself is a fairy tale. Many self-proclaimed Christians boast in having a faith that isn't based in the Bible. That they aren't held captive to any such paper pope. They claim that they don't need God's written word. Though they prefer to say it's not really God's word, that the Bible is so riddled with errors and contradictions that disqualify it from serious consideration of enlightened folk today. Recognize that it is in the very same spirit that the rich man argues with Father Abraham. The rich man wants Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead, Jacob Marley style, to warn his five brothers who are living like he did. The rich man here assumes that this hellfire and place of torment, as he describes it, could be escaped with the proper warning. And indeed, had he received the right kind of warning ahead of time, he wouldn't be there now. So he surmises. But Abraham says, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Now, Moses and the prophets, at this time and at our time, are dead, of course. But their message isn't. Their message is written in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible has the writings of Moses and the prophets, where they give warning that such torment will come to those who live sumptuously while ignoring the needs of their brother. And it occurred to me as singing the gradual today, it's right here in Psalm 41. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. They have Moses. They have the prophets. So in short, Abraham says, they don't need poor Lazarus to warn them. They already have the Bible. The rich man responds, but the Bible isn't enough. He says that the Bible isn't a good enough warning. Why isn't it a good enough warning? Because they won't believe it. That's why. But if Lazarus comes back from the dead in an exciting and miraculous way and tells them directly, they will listen, they will repent, and will avoid the place of torment. But Abraham says with finality, if they won't listen to the Bible, they won't listen to any miraculous preacher. Literally, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Dear friends in Christ, those who are in hell aren't there because God failed to warn them properly. They have the scriptures, and no warning would have been more sufficient than what the Moses and the prophets already said. So the central teaching here, the thrust of all Jesus' words in this story, is that the Bible, the written word of God, is sufficient for faith. Someone might hear of Jesus Christ and his atoning death and vindicating resurrection from a street preacher, and they might come to faith and believe. But that doesn't mean that that happens apart from the Holy Scriptures, which testify it. They would have believed the same there. But those who believe it to be a fairy tale won't believe it to be a miracle either. Won't believe a miracle either. And with this, our admonitions to all of us, to the church, to the true Israel. First, when people say that they would believe, but they just don't know why they should believe the Bible, don't believe them. They might think that what they're saying is true, of course, but they're wrong. Jesus says that anyone who doesn't believe the Bible won't believe anything else that speaks the truth of God. This line is from Satan, who uses it to convince Christians to give up trying to convert the world with the Bible. So we hide the Bible under our pillows and go out into the world with natural arguments for the existence of God and other such things that might be very persuasive, but they don't save. Second, many Christians are convinced that we can't quote the Bible to the people who reject its authority. And this has created an enlightened caste of super Christians who think that their faith is so strong it doesn't need the Bible. Some say that their faith is based on a personal encounter with God or with daily conversations with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says that these things, if true, cannot and do not replace the Bible. Now, someone might say, Pastor, that's all well and good. I like the Bible, and I read it all the time, but we're not saved by the Bible, are we? We're saved by believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and conquered death for us in the resurrection. This is true. Jesus conquered death, and those who rightly believe this will be saved, even if they are illiterate and have never read one verse in the Bible. But the reason they believe is because the Word of God has been preserved in the sacred writings. The Bible is enough. It's a sufficient warning for all to repent and believe. No one can say, "Give me a sign and I will believe." Everyone already has a sign in the sacred writings that come from the apostles and the prophets, who did many signs and whose tongues were the pen of a ready scribe. And if they don't believe, you can give them a sign, the writings contained in the Word of God. And if they still don't believe, don't be discouraged. There's another account in the Gospels about a man named Lazarus, a friend of Jesus who died, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And many people were amazed and confirmed in the fact that Jesus was the Christ because of it. But when the chief priests heard of it, they did not repent. When they heard that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they did not say, "Now we believe." Instead, they said, "This is getting out of hand, people. Now everyone's going to follow Jesus. It will cause a disruption in the system, and the Romans will take away our rule." So, instead of repenting, they resolved to kill Lazarus, who had come to them literally from the dead. And instead of believing Jesus, as a result of the resurrection of Lazarus, they plotted to kill him. But this was part of God's plan. Jesus went willingly to the cross and died for their sins and ours and the sins of the whole world. And he was raised on the third day and gives eternal life to all who believe this. Thank God that you have the Bible, which is your only reliable and sufficient source to the saving truth of Jesus Christ. I may preach the word of Christ to you, but it's not the word of Christ because I preach it. But the scriptures are the word of God because they are the scriptures. They are God's word. They are the words of Christ, who is the only way to the Father who is beside Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who resides with all the souls of the saints of the church, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and who will receive you into eternal glory on the day of redemption. May it be for us as we believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Now the peace of God which passes our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.